This is Wright Brennan with Lost in the Midlands, brought to you by C. Wright Roofing. And today I am here with an entrepreneur, a father of two, a mule extraordinaire, the man, Ted Dunn with Dumpster Mule. Ted, thanks for coming on, man.
Wright, it's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation, and I'm excited to be a part of this podcast.
Absolutely. I love having people in the home improvement industry on to talk biz, people doing things around the Midlands like yourself. It's always exciting to hear about the market. I mean, we're both talking to a lot of homeowners. We're talking to a lot of small business owners. So our circles overlap in some yep. capacity.
Yep.
So let's hear a little bit about your early days, like coming up to today. You know, we're going to rewind back. Okay. Like, so born and raised.
Okay, we're going way back.
We'll fast forward through some of it, but we want to know the...
My oldest sister is the firstborn American in our family.
Oh, wow.
So that's probably something some of the folks haven't learned yet about me. Mom and Dad were Canadians.
Yeah.
They're now Americans.
Cool.
Dad came to the U.S. on a hockey scholarship, played at Clarkson University in Potsdam, New York.
Very cool.
Me and my sisters were all born in Erie, Pennsylvania, where he had his first job.
Yeah.
But then quickly moved south, and I was raised in Newnan, Georgia.
Yeah.
So when we have family reunions, I sound nothing like the rest of the family.
Who's this guy? Nice.
Eight?
Yeah.
So a little hockey in our history, but for as far as where I grew up, that would be Newnan, Georgia.
Okay. All right. Very cool. There's a hockey game on tonight. I don't know if you have any. Do you care? Or is that still in your blood?
Absolutely. And this is game two of the Canadians versus the U.S. Game one was in Montreal.
Yeah.
They booed our national anthem, and then there was three fights right when they dropped the first puck.
Oh, man, beautiful.
So tonight's going to be an awesome game.
Tonight's going to be fun. Okay. I plan to watch tonight's game. I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I love – every time I watch them, I'm like, this is so much fun. Great competition. What was the next move after Georgia?
Okay, so college would be what brought me to South Carolina. I came here in 1991 as a freshman. I knew nobody in the state of South Carolina. And but I fell in love. So when I was sending out, you know, applications and visiting schools, I got onto the horseshoe on a rainy day and said, "Wow, this is home." And so many of my friends ended up at Georgia, Alabama, and several small schools around. But I ventured east.
Yeah.
And don't regret a bit of it.
Very cool. Oh, love that. What a great way to find Columbia, you know, just ending up on the horseshoe on a rainy day. Is picture perfect. And did you move out? I mean, after college, where was the next move?
I took a job with a very small moving and storage organization. They were a part of United Van Lines, Smith Dray Line. And Smith Dray Line still operates. Now they're with Mayflower.
Cool.
But Smith Dray Line owned Smith Records Management.
Yeah.
And that was the division I was placed in right out of college. I was a courier making $8 an hour, driving files and boxes and records to different businesses around town.
Yeah.
And tape rotations for backup tapes in a vault that we had. That grew into an acquisition. So that started in 96. And then Iron Mountain, which is a big global company, acquired Smith Records Management in 2001.
Yeah.
And I stayed with Iron Mountain in operations through 2015. Left Iron Mountain, got into the garbage industry. A little preview to what we're doing now.
Oh, the evolution.
I joined Republic Services, they're a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, that's big. Okay, cool.
Big company. I was the general manager in Oklahoma, and it was kind of far away from home, but it was really, really cool to learn the industry, and we all measure KPIs, right? In your industry and everywhere I've worked, you measure KPIs. Probably the coolest KPI that I was ever graded on was at the landfill in Oklahoma for Republic Services. Basically, you take a shot of your mountain, like a laser shot, and you have a density. 6 months later, you come and get another laser shot to see how much airspace did you grow, did you occupy? Versus how many tons of trash did you put in? So you want to use as little airspace as possible.
With maximum poundage?
For maximum poundage, that's right. So what the experts at Republic Services learned was those great big yellow iron equipment, they need to run over the trash about 6 times to get your max compaction.
Yeah.
But anything more than that, you're kind of wasting time, too.
It's already compacted about as much as it gets to.
Boom. You got it. So one of the coolest KPIs, and really where I fell in love with that industry, but we were too far away from home. We returned to Iron Mountain and in a sales position and moved back to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Spent another 4, 5, 6 years, I've lost track of the number, but in sales with Iron Mountain, got to know the owner of Home Brands through mutual connections. Kids went to the same school, stuff like that. Then this opportunity for Dumpster Mule came up.
Yeah.
In August of 24.
Awesome.
And that's where we are.
All right. When you moved into sales, yeah, was that a new flavor of professionalism, or did you kind of have some of that in your previous gig?
Great question. When I was a general manager, of course, I owned the P&L, and a big driver for me when I was the owner of the P&L was the top line.
Yeah.
So I loved going on sales calls. I liked partnering with the sales team and being part of that whole process. I think I'm just a hunter at heart. But I grew up in operations and spent so much of my career there. So it was a pretty simple transition. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's rewarding in many ways, not only financially, but when you get that sale, there's a trophy.
It's
great.
We won.
We beat them. We won. Yeah. So it was a good transition. I loved it.
Yeah. Okay. So, the transition out and into Home Brands, you met the owner of Home Brands. That's where there's a lot of different home improvement businesses that are kind of underneath this umbrella. And was the opportunity on the table then, or did it kind of just develop into, hey, look, there happens to be one?
Okay, so you can't talk about Dumpster Mule without talking about Home Brands. Now, to get me back to South Carolina, I actually took a job with another foundation company. They paid for the move. They got me here. I spent a couple of years with them. And because they do crawl space and foundation repair, and so did Crawl Space Medic, I crossed paths with Evan Wilson. But then our kids went to the same school. We just got to know each other.
Yeah.
Professionally. I didn't realize he had these other brands until last year when all this came to fruition. And the opportunity came up. I had another discussion with him, the rest of the Home Brands team, and we put together the package to take ownership.
Yeah. So you were moving into a new family of – that Home Brands organization is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So much different expertise and so much talent, including, yes. Including the man himself over here.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll give them the credit they deserve because, Evan Wilson – started Wilson Co. They remodel, they build, they do a lot of home building, construction, sales. And through that, he kept spending money on crawl space repair and handyman repair and electrical repair and dumpsters. So, the brains behind it all started these businesses.
Yeah.
And then even got, even smarter and said, let's franchise them. So, we see a lot of, we hear people talk about buy local. Well, you can't get any more local than that because they're extending franchises outward into these other cities all the way to St. Louis that are paying royalties back to Home
back
Brands
here.
In Columbia. So there's no more local you can get than supporting one of the Home Brands teams. So that was another attractant to me. I had immediate, access to the owners.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they're here. I can go knock on their door. I can see them.
Yeah. Gosh, a support network. I mean, yeah, and probably some great masterminding going on. Hey, look, we got all these problems. Well, you got the best, the best minds trying to find solutions. That's pretty cool. So, in the transition phase, so this opportunity came to the table, and was that a big decision making this next move, or were you kind of ready to, chart a new path?
Yeah. So I think. What sort of put the interest in was when we moved our family, and with Iron Mountain, I moved the family 6 times. So my wife is a saint. The kids are incredible. The fact that they followed me around and we're all still together is amazing. But when we moved from Oklahoma to here, our son's an avid golfer, and he's proven to be so, and
better than his dad.
Much better.
Well, what's your handicap?
What's mine?
Yeah. Mine's terrible. I can get through about 9 holes, and then I'm ready to go.
There's sandbaggers, and I need to know the term. What's the opposite of sandbagger? Because my handicap is a 3.6, but I play to about a 13. So I'm the complete opposite.
Interesting.
It's
way
lower than it should be. But my son is a +2.
Oh, wow.
But when we moved here, we wanted to give him an opportunity at junior golf.
Cool.
So we started the U.S. Kids Golf Chapter in Columbia. We met a lot of people.
No kidding.
Through that, and we absolutely loved running it as a family. It was a weekend deal. I was working at Iron Mountain. The wife ended up getting a job with the state of South Carolina. But on weekends, we ran this junior tournament for 6 years. So that's where I think it came to me, I would love to own my own business. Look how this is working.
Yeah.
And we had a successful tour. When he got too old for that, we passed it on to somebody else who now runs that tour.
Yeah.
But that's probably where it all came from, why I wanted to get into my own business one day.
Through the entrepreneurial endeavor of this golf tournament that your son and your son still plays, is he still an active golfer competitively?
Yes, sir. He signed in November to play golf for Mercer University, and they're in the Southern Conference.
Congrats.
He'll be going against like Furman and Wofford in that conference, Citadel.
Yeah.
So we're really excited for him. I know. The team is excited to have him, and he's equally excited to be part of that team next year. So he's still got a senior year, though. And high school season is just about to start, so we've got to do that first before we get to college. But we ran 106 golf tournaments in those 6 years.
Goodness. Yeah. You guys were busy on the weekends.
Yeah. But I say it was fun. I don't know. I better not speak for my kids and my wife. I enjoyed it.
To do that, I know you got a passion. I mean, the passion just bleeds out, and, it turned into 106 different tournaments.
Including going to the World Championship multiple times in Pinehurst. So luckily for us, the U.S. Kids World Championship was just a short drive away, but this literally was a world championship. Our son got paired with a kid from Australia, and he said it took him 33 hours of travel 1 year.
Good gosh.
To get to Pinehurst.
Yeah.
And he's played with a kid from China, Taiwan, Germany, and all over the U.S. So that world championship was pretty cool. And when we got to work it and see it behind the scenes, it was really cool. So I've done the caddy job as a dad, and I've done, as a tour director working it. Really, really cool.
That's fantastic. That is pretty cool. We could do a whole podcast on golf tournaments, but we'll talk dumpsters because that's where we're making money.
There we go.
And the evolution that occurred from the beginning to today. I mean, did you know how to pull a dump trailer? Was this a skill that was learned on the job, or it's not easy.
No. Well, pulling it's easy. It's the backing.
The backing.
That's really hard. And to be honest, I was a driver with Iron Mountain Smith Records Management, and the only backing I had to do was not with a trailer, but it was a 24-foot box truck.
Big truck, yeah.
And it was in and around a lot of these buildings around Columbia, down and underneath into docks and the tight places. So some skill was started way back then.
Absolutely.
But it took some practice. And fortunately, we have big yards that we can practice in and tight places we can back these trailers in before we go out and go live. So I created an obstacle course, not only to train myself, but now anytime we hire somebody, you've got a certain amount of achievements to get through before you're let go on the streets.
Yeah, here's your test.
Right.
Okay, we're gonna hit cones today, not people, so we can trust you. Very cool. All right. So, what are some of the challenges that you didn't see coming on when you jumped into the role, or was it more of you just kind of kept an open mind to all challenges?
No, I definitely had an open mind, and I was probably anticipating some challenges that weren't legit and not anticipating some that are, right? So, you've got to keep the pipeline coming, but you've got to do that in the corporate world too. But now there's a little bit more stake in the game. So what I didn't know about in the corporate world were all these network groups available to us locally.
Yeah.
And I've just think that's been a godsend for me.
Yeah.
Learning about the BNI, learning about there's a couple other groups that I'm get involved with, just trying to meet others that are doing similar things, and that's been phenomenal. I didn't know about that, but that's been a great way to try and keep the pipeline going.
I heard that. The best ROI is shaking hands and talking to somebody.
That's,
I mean,
right, yeah.
You know, handing a business card.
Yeah, so, but what I needed to know, what I didn't realize was you just got to constantly be pushing that and getting those orders coming in.
Yeah.
And I thought a lot of it would just be organic and natural, and no, it takes feet on the street every day.
So. Tis a grind. So who are your targets, like your customer base? What type of people are you interested in networking with, like optimally?
Yeah.
Like a one room full of 20 people, who's it going to be?
Yeah, well, I'd say, first of all, primarily residential.
Yeah.
And then secondly would be anyone that's doing work on residential. Now, we do our share of customer jobs and have done some great ones, but the majority of us, what we do is residential. And then I would say anyone that's going in for a clean out, if there's been a disaster in the home, you've got to get all that out. If there's just being an upgrade, if you're getting a new kitchen, or if you're getting a new bathroom, or you need something fun, whether it's fun or disaster, you've got to replace that garbage. And I know, I think our biggest competitor really is people that haul their own trash. Now, some of those folks, they put it on the trucks, and I know this from when I was with that previous foundation company. We'd put the trash on the trucks, drive the truck back to the yard, take it off the truck, put it in another dumpster. So all that starts adding up.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, you know, that's one of our biggest competitors would be people hauling their own trash. So what we try to do to combat that is we try and cater to it like you have your own dump trailer. I may not have said this already. Ours are on wheels, okay? So you're not going to scrape up a driveway like a roll-off would. We can actually get in yards. We had a customer call us saying, we're taking out a deck in the back. There's room to get back there. Could we put the dumpster there? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we were able to pull around and back right up to the old deck. They could just rip it off, put it in the dumpster, and off we went, and they built the new deck.
Yeah. How big are the dumpsters?
14 yards. You know, mostly if we were to do an average of all our tickets, we're probably about 1.5 to 2 tons.
Yeah.
We had one load full of dirt, and it was over mounding, which we didn't advise.
Not okay.
No, not okay. Don't do that anymore. Nobody. It was 8.9 tons.
My
gosh.
And
we could barely get the dumpster off the property to the landfill. Yeah.
So slow drive to the landfill.
In a tandem. I was like, you know, I'm following this load. I want to be behind it just to be sure. But, no, I'd say two to four tons is a good load for us.
Yeah. Can you put shingles, brick, dirt? I mean, what do we not want to put in this thing? Household trash?
You can put anything in it. We can do household trash. The cost of that is a little bit higher, so you got to dump in a different part of the landfill.
Okay.
So household trash is okay, but there's a little extra cost to it. But there's extra cost to tires. There's extra cost to big things like refrigerators, big appliances, and mattresses. Those are all things that the landfill charges us, and it's a pass-through. That's not a moneymaker for us. We just pass the cost on that. But we can't take paint.
Okay.
There's a special way to do that. Oils, gases, explosives, batteries. There's other ways to handle that, and that's not us.
Okay.
But construction and demolition all day long.
Yeah.
Busting up a sidewalk, you know, to pour something new.
That's it.
That's it. Let us do it.
Okay. How do you recruit guys to come on the team? What's your strategy? Are you on Indeed, or do you have other networks? And I'm also like trying to dig for my own like recruiting tactics.
No,
how are you getting it done?
So, I came on Dumpster Mule in August, and I've hired one person.
Well, there's one.
And we did put a job out on Indeed, and we may have even used LinkedIn, but this was word of mouth.
Okay.
And in a previous, you know, life, I also coached high school golf.
Yeah. Do you get some?
Wasn't because I'm a good coach; it was because I was the next dad in line. Let me get that straight. Right? So I tapped into that network, and it was actually a young fellow that was at the same high school as my kids, between the age of my two kids.
Yeah.
Came out, did an interview. He had backing skills already. He was working part-time for a landscaping company that had a trailer.
Yeah.
And he had backing skills. What he was looking for was a full-time job.
Cool.
And we were able to offer that. So that's how we found London. He's a great driver. We're excited to have him on the team.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about his skill set and able to get into those really fun places that the customers want to get in and out of. So
yeah, he and I both share this emotion. So we have an address. It's in the maps. Isn't that great how we have just phones tell us where to go now?
Oh, yeah.
So we're driving. And so for me, and we've talked about this, it's like, what am I going to get to? What am I? What's it going to look like? Is there going to be a mailbox in the way? Is there going to be somebody parked in the way? So you're always anticipating, what am I going to be backing into?
Yeah.
And the funniest, the most difficult thing is on a main highway, a main road. So if there's a driveway we've got to back into that's on a main road, those are the tough ones.
Yeah.
We can handle sharp turns, but you always worry about the other people flying down the road when you're backing in. So it's not the tight stuff that scares me. It's the other drivers
on the road. Yeah, God, we all deal with that, right? That is the truth, man. It's scary out there.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what about the neighborhoods you're working in? Is there any particular zone of the Midlands or 45 minutes from downtown or what?
Good question. We're all over the Midlands, and you're right, about 45 minutes. So if you were to go east, Sumter, south, southeast, Orangeburg, there's not a whole lot west. Obviously, we go to Gilbert. There's a very nice landfill in Gilbert that we use. But between Gilbert and Aiken, there's not a whole lot. We don't go to Aiken. I guess there's a price tag on anything. So anyone in Aiken, if you want us, call us, but it costs a little extra.
Yeah, there's people there.
That's right.
There is a big gap of nothing between.
You need a mule. We call them a mule. So that's one thing. If you can take away, don't call them dumpsters. You call them mules. That's your homework.
Here.
Up north, we would go to Chapin, maybe Newberry. Maybe not quite Newberry, but in between. And obviously Blythewood and in that direction.
So is it a diesel truck?
Two diesel trucks, 3,500s, 23 dumpsters. They're all 14 yards wheels.
And you've got a couple of them just like parked around town. You're like, I've got a marketing genius idea. We're just going to put it on the side of Garner's Ferry. Every time I pass it, I'm like, man, I need to do something
this. Yes. Well, my friends that will let me park in high vis areas, that's where we go. We don't have an office. We just have a yard. Anything we can do to lower our costs, lower our charges to our customers. So
it's awesome.
I'll mobile office in a Lowe's parking lot. I'll pull in with a trailer on the back and do my work right there mobile. And I've sold a few that way. I've people come knock on the window, and my first question is, you need a dumpster? And sometimes they say yes, and I said, let's go. I'll follow you right now.
That's sitting at Lowe's and Home Depot, probably pretty good place to find some customers. That makes a lot of sense. All right, let me ask you a little bit about networking and stuff like that. Have you looked at like networking in other markets, like going over to, Charlotte and traveling across state lines? Are you thinking your central location here is plenty of room for growth?
No, the goal, like you're starting any kind of franchise, is get success at the core and work our way out. And I know Home Brands would like to do that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be a part of that with them, especially in the state of South Carolina. And I've actually got connections from my Republic Service days asking already, hey, I'd like to open a dumpster mule here. I'd like to open one there.
Yeah.
And I've connected those dots, and those dots are talking, and we may see that sooner than later.
So. Opportunities on the horizon.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, so how many – you say you got one driver – and you're back doing operations, and he's out zipping around. What point are we going to hire a second one?
We need to be doing 5 to 6 a day to cover our bills. We get to 10 plus, we're going to be hiring. So we're right in that mid zone. We're not quite there yet. So occasionally I'll do a delivery or a pickup to offset a heavy day, but we've got to have that consistently before we pull on another person.
Well, it was a slow January for C-Rite Roofing.
Okay.
February is starting to look better. So, and this is the same trend I always follow. You know, we come out the holidays and it's like a slow ramp up into remodel season. And I imagine that, you know, in a couple months, you know, you're not going to be able to get off the phone with people calling for all their home improvement needs.
I think we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
You know, in November when the storm came through, I imagine
that was busy.
Yeah. So at that time, I'm calling Home Brand saying, hey, I think I'm going to need another truck. I think I'm going to need another driver. And they're like, hey, hold on a minute.
Got the holidays coming.
You've been on 3 months now. And I'm like, yep, you're right. I get it. And then December, January hit, and I'm like, yeah. They know. Dumpster Mule existed before me. I didn't start it, but I picked up and ran with it.
Well, you are carrying the torch far, my friend. Really exciting. All right, what advice would you give to somebody who's interested in going into the being an entrepreneur like yourself, or even into the waste management business? You got a lot of waste management experience.
Yeah. Well, I think in general for any kind of business, one, you need a good website, a good social media backing, whether that's somebody you know or you hire, or in my case, a franchisor. I think you need them to help with the name, and then you yourself, and that's me in this case, need to be on the streets. And so, like I said, I've joined a local B&I chapter. I love it. The first time I went, I was like, this is amazing. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on day one, and since been going to other networking meetings. The B&I is the best because you're held accountable and you're all helping each other, but the other ones are really good to feather in as well. So my advice would be get out there, get on the streets, shake hands, and be known. And I just got on Facebook. I was a LinkedIn guy my whole life because that's what corporate America does.
Yeah.
And I never had Facebook. And then about a month ago, I joined Facebook. And so I'm starting to learn that.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome. It is interesting that there's so much small business commerce on Facebook. Like a lot of it, a lot of recommendations, a lot of people looking for X, Y, and Z. And I know that was a valuable move. So fantastic.
Yeah, that'd be my advice for sure.
Very cool. So how do we find you? We want a dumpster, a mule. We want a mule. We want a mule tomorrow. Where do we go to do that?
You may still be able to get one today.
Okay.
That's how good we are. You may still get one today.
Awesome.
Maybe not this late in the day, but we do same day service. I think the best thing to do is go to our website.
Yeah.
At dumpstermule.pro. That's, don't mix that up. .pro. And you can either put your order in online, or you can call the office. But you can see everything that's offered in there. And same day service, back doors open. You'll see all the advantages to us.
Yeah.
And why we cater to the residential. Roll offs will dominate. There's always going to be a need for roll offs. They're critical. But I don't want a roll off in my driveway.
There's a niche right. Element, 100%. Yeah, no, I can see that. Fantastic. I understand you're actually dipping your toes back into the putting on golf tournaments a little bit. You want to tell us what's coming up?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes. Well, through the B&I, I learned about the Palmetto Place.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
As far as I know.
Okay. This is an organization here in Columbia that are helping kids with a lot of trouble. And I don't know specifically, and it'll probably everyone has a different story, but these are kids in our community that have problems. They have 27 beds.
Yeah.
They're bringing these kids in, sometimes off the street, sometimes away from parents with issues, all different situations. And they're putting them in beds. They're giving them food. They're giving them education. They're getting them to school, from school. They're helping them get clothes. It's incredible. I had no idea it existed.
Yeah.
So I did a one-to-one. That's what we do in the B&I with our nonprofit lady, Laird Summers. She's fantastic. And was learning all about this and found out she's running a golf tournament. I said, Laird, I ran over 100. Let me help. So she's great at fundraising. I've got the background in the golf. We're teaming up.
Yeah.
We are looking for sponsors, right? How can you not want to help these kids?
Kind of soon.
Yeah. See, right, roofing.
We just got one.
We're looking for, if you want to have a hole, you're going to get more. If you want to have a hole, you're going to have more than a sign. A lot of these places put signs on the hole. You can come out in person and pitch to the people coming through. So you get a little bit more value.
That's nice.
Yes. And, or you can put a salesperson, whoever you want to be, they yeah. can be on the hole. They can tell their story.
I got a tent ready.
Tent on the hole. You get breakfast, lunch. There'll be drinks.
Cool.
There'll be entertainment. There'll be a mule on the driving range that you can hit. And there'll be surprises if you can hit the mule.
Awesome. When is this?
This is May 8th, so we'll get Charwood.
Okay. All right, that is pretty exciting. You've done over 100 tournaments, so they are in good hands, and so are the people of Columbia looking for mules. We've got the man himself helping so many people. And any final message to the audience you'd like to convey?
Oh, wow. I'd say turn back the clock and watch the Wishnia podcast. I watched that one for just to see what I was getting into. I'm amazed at what his background, what he's done, and I can't wait to go back and binge all these podcasts. It's fantastic. So what you're doing for the community is greatly appreciated.
We appreciate you too, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yes, sir.
Hey everyone, many thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a follow and click the bell to stay up to date on future episodes, or click the link to watch another previous episode. Also, don't forget to like, share, and please leave us a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback.